We're expecting to hook up with Casey Tingle here in just a minute. Casey serves as the director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. We want to talk with him about the wildfires. There's still a lot going on. I know we had some rain last weekend into the early parts of this week. That rain was not enough to knock them all out. And, well, as the rain has subsided and then we're back to our dry conditions, the drought and or extreme drought that we've been seeing throughout the state over the course of the last month or so, well, it's exacerbating an already bad situation. So we've got a burn ban in effect. We'll talk about that. But battling the wildfires has got to be covered. And adding to that burn ban, we'll get into the whole not grilling thing. It's one that, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's one that on its surface, a lot of folks hear that and will say to themselves, okay, this is just being silly. I grill 2-3 times a week. What are we doing here? Well, the ask is out there for a reason. Joining us now to talk about it and the wildfires overall, Casey Tingle from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Casey, welcome back. How are you, man?
Good morning, Brian. Good to be with you.
Glad to have you on here this morning. So a lot of folks saw the announcement about how we're being asked not to grill for Labor Day weekend or when we have folks over for the LSU game. Walk me through a little bit of the why to help make sense.
Certainly. So, you know, this is really the opinion of our fire professionals in terms of the conditions that we're seeing, which are truly unprecedented across the state, particularly in Southwest Louisiana, but in all parts of the state in terms of the length of record temperatures, the lack of rainfall throughout that period, and the winds that have been associated with a lot of the weather that we have seen. Those weather conditions have created unprecedented drought across large parts of our state. And then as these fires have started, the amount of resources and time and work that has gone in has truly taxed fire service all across the state. I believe as of yesterday, we had something like 62 different departments, fire departments across the state that had given up some of their equipment and personnel to go deploy to help their partners in other parts of the state. And so this has been a taxing event across the state, not the least of which is the time and money that we have spent bringing in resources from other states to back us up.
Casey Tingle from GOSEP is our guest. We're going to be talking about the wildfires overall and the fight trying to battle them back. But had to start with the announcement that we're being asked not to throw meat on a grill. Casey, the ask here, some of the talking points that go along with it, I mean, I get it, but there's so many people that would just take this and say, okay, come on, what are we doing here? How do you make the message translate to the person who grills 2-3 times a week, has never seen a problem before? Like, that, it's not the most translatable ask.
Yeah, I think the way that we would approach it is just in terms of, as an ask, disaster management, emergency response, all of that requires partnerships. And so sometimes it requires partnerships between, you know, one department helping another department out. It certainly involves the partnerships of other states coming to help us out. But it also involves a partnership with the general public, and that the reality is that there's something that all of us can do to be a part of the solution here and to reduce the likelihood that these fires start in the first place. And so that covers a range of activities, and of the things that we think would be helpful here in the opinion of the fire experts is reducing the likelihood that we would do anything that would potentially start a fire. And so that's really the thought process behind that, and the ask being, let's all do our part to be helpful here.
We got Casey Tingle, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Now, I'm fixating on the grills, but there are other asks that go along with tailgating that should probably be addressed as well. For example, Parking. What are we looking at when it comes to making sure that folks are safe in that regard?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, and then I apologize for not knowing all of the specifics, but I think each of the schools is going to kind of be releasing what their approach to this is, mm-hmm. as they plan for game day and that sort of thing. And, you know, my opinion on this is simply that we're trying to draw the line and really create conditions that allow as much of, you know, that fun activity that all of us enjoy, you know, making sure that we can do that at the same time, not putting our first responders in a more difficult situation than they're already in. And so each school, I think, is going to come out with what their policies and guidelines are to balance that out.
Okay.
But that's really the thought process.
You wrapped up exactly where I was going with this one. The advisory is cars and trucks should not be parked on dry grass, as tailpipes and other hot car parts can start a fire. When it comes to the colleges and universities around the state that will be hosting football games this weekend, next weekend, beyond, I have no doubt that all the colleges and universities are going to have their policies set in place to where they are the safest. However, tomorrow night, all over the state, you're going to have high school football. And I think when you dial it back down to the high school level, that's where you're going to see more of the grass fields than at the university level or beyond.
Yeah, certainly that could be the case. And I know that our local officials and our local fire departments are going to be working locally with all of those partners to come up with what the right fit is. But I do want everybody to understand the starting point in terms of the state of readiness of those fire departments and the tremendous amount that we have asked from them over the last few weeks. In very difficult conditions, with ambulances supporting them because of the heat and that sort of thing. And so as a public, we're just asking everybody to understand the state and the effort that our first responders have put in and try to do everything possible. And I'm sure our local officials will be making, you know, the right decisions for their jurisdictions on that.
Casey Tingle, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, is our guest. All right, let's talk about that effort a little bit, because a lot has gone into this. We've seen more than 60,000 acres of Louisiana burn. The Tiger Island wildfire is the biggest one, but it's not the only one at the same time. So let's start with a little bit more detail on what some of the efforts have been around the state.
Yeah, right now, I think as of this morning, there are 6 relatively large active fires. Now, when I say active, that doesn't mean that they are completely burning out of control, but they have active fires within that footprint. Just late last night, we got the 4th FEMA declaration for one of our fires, for the Highway 113 fire, which is sort of straddling the Rapides and Vernon Parish line. And so these fires have been unprecedented for us, at least in recent memory, in terms of the amount of ground that they are covering, but also the type of fire. So this isn't just a grass fire that's running along the ground and, you know, hits the roadway and stops. Even last night, the fire on 113 got into the tops of the trees and was basically running across the trees. And so for our local firefighters that are dealing with structural fires and that sort of thing, this is a completely different type of fire. And so that's required, you know, both ag and forestry and other states to come in with those wildfire assets that can support our structural firefighters. And it's really been a team effort. So they work in concert with each other, the structural guys doing whatever they can to ensure that houses that may be in the pathway are prepped and protected, and the wildfire experts with dozers and helicopters doing everything they can to try to knock back the fire and create lines of safety. And so hours and hours and hours of work in very difficult and hot conditions and resources coming in from other states as well as the federal government to help better position us moving ahead.
We're talking with Casey Tingle from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. What does some of those resources look like? I mean, we're talking about not just on the ground, but resources in the air, too.
Yeah, so just yesterday, the U.S. Forestry Service set up a fire retardant base in Alexandria. So that has three airplanes associated with it that can drop that flame retardant. We've probably all seen some of those pictures from California and other states, and it's a bit strange to know that now those resources, those same resources, are required here. But that's in place now. We've got seven helicopters, to include one of the large Chinook helicopters that can drop, you know, a bucket with a lot of water. So all of those are in place in Southwest Louisiana. Some of those are ours that our National Guard is operating. Some of those have brought in from partner states, as well as specialized trucks and water tanks and bulldozers and things like that that are really designed for the conditions of fighting these fires in very difficult conditions. And so our Department of Ag and Forestry has been doing a great job with this all summer long, really. But because of the scale, they brought in partnerships from other states and the U.S. Forestry Service to help us as well.
Getting an update on the wildfires around Louisiana from Casey Tingle, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. How are the troops? I mean, how are those that are out there fighting this right now, those that are on the front lines of the fires, morale and fatigue-wise?
Well, I've had an opportunity the last week or so to travel with the governor to a number of these locations. And I will say that the sense that I get is, you know, just unbelievable amount of commitment to be working in both dangerous and highly fluid situations where, you know, you're dealing with fire activity and conditions and in some cases access that can be very difficult, and having worked very close to these fires, you know, in temperatures that for some days were in the, you know, 105, 108 degrees. And so, you know, that just a tremendous amount of effort and commitment. A lot of these, and particularly in that part of the state, are volunteer fire departments. So these are men and women that have stepped away from their jobs and truly been working, you know, in some cases every day in the volunteer capacity to support their communities, and have really appreciated the backup from other states, from departments across the state. So I believe in Baton Rouge, both Baton Rouge Fire and St. George have sent teams over to assist. A number of departments across the state have done the same thing. And so that mutual aid and partnership you know, those systems that we use in all disasters have really shown in this current event.
Speaking of, you said volunteer fire departments, is there room for volunteers here? I mean, I know like during the flood in 2016, that's how the Cajun Navy got started. Has there been any push or effort for just, you know, regular folks to get out there with a bucket or a hose?
Yeah, in terms of the firefight itself, these conditions don't really warrant that, because they're very dynamic and very dangerous in terms of how quickly these fires can spread. But we have seen a tremendous amount of volunteer efforts. There have been some shelters that were opened up in Southwest Louisiana in Beauregard and in Leesville and in other places. And volunteers, American Red Cross, and local churches and local volunteers have helped out to make sure that those people were well taken care of. We have seen other situations where we had to rescue some animals the other night and make sure those animals got to a safe shelter, and volunteers, you know, rose to the occasion and helped with that. And now I think as we're starting to figure out where the damages are and whose homes have been destroyed, we've got volunteer groups that are supporting all of those families with food and other resources. So it's been truly a team effort.
Last one before we get you out of here, and I greatly appreciate your time this morning, Director of GOSEP, Casey Tingle. Last one before I get you out of here is, we're looking at a chance of rain throughout the weekend on into next week. It's not that great of a chance of rain, but a chance of rain. What's the long-term, what's the next week's prognosis looking like in fighting this? Is it going to take a significant amount of rain to bring this to a close, or can we battle this back down to nothing without the assistance of rain?
I in listening to the National Weather Service and others, September projects to be somewhat drier than average. And so we're not expecting a big change in terms of the forecast moving forward. Certainly that would be very welcome. And in talking to the fire experts, it is going to take some sustained slow rains that soak into the ground to really change the conditions that we're dealing with. So we're going to need Mother Nature's help. We would, as the governor has been mentioning to everybody, to pray for rain. That's really what it's going to take to get us out of this current threat.
He is Casey Tingle. We greatly appreciate the time and information. Thank you for hopping on board, sir.
Thank you, Brian. Anytime.